No, my hari mai, ki tēnei hōtaka. Welcome to the panel on RNZ National, Wallace Chapman here. Kia mau tōna mai, koutou katoa. Coming up on the program, school attendance figures out today, showing that over 61% of students regularly attend class and 60,000 students chronically absent. We talk with Principal Stephen Hargreaves. And trillions of cicadas are about to emerge from underground. According to scientists there, they are part of Brood X. And after 17 years, they will be coming out in mass numbers. We talked to an entomologist about that. And the local book festival will now not include a popular Harry Potter trivia quiz. It's been cancelled due to alleged transphobic tweets and comments by J.K. Rowling. Now, Rowling has been named as a literacy hero and getting a whole generation into reading. Is it the right move to cancel her work at a book festival, we ask? And the warehouse is calling time on DVD and Blu-ray technology. Is this the nail in the coffin for DVDs? And if you still use them, tell us and why. Text us 2101. You can email thepanel at rnz.co.nz. With me this afternoon, Te Wheeler Fu'utai, producer and journalist at ReNews and the New Zealand Herald. She's a columnist there. Te Wheeler, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Lovely to have you on.
Lovely to be here.
And Michael Moynihan, a company director, private sector advisor for New Zealand Trade Enterprise and ex-chair of Creative NZ. Michael, welcome.
Kia ora, Wallace. Nice to be here.
And for our story of the day, Robert Kelly. Kia ora, Robert.
Kia ora, everyone. How are we doing?
Excellent.
Good.
And of course,
you have the Auckland contingent.
The Auckland contingent. Yeah. We haven't had that one for a while in studio full, but you would be a DVD collector.
No, I did have some, but I kind of come in on the back end of the DVDs. So they were definitely around when I was a teenager. But there was this horrible moment in kind of the early 2010s when we realised when you have to move flat every year, because that's for some reason how the world works, you had to carry all of these discs around that actually carry weight. So I've got rid of almost all of them, although at a recent pub quiz in Wellington, we came middle. We were the mediocre team.
Yeah.
And there's a mediocre prize, and the prize that week was season three of Downton Abbey on DVD.
Oh. Love it.
Which we now have in pride of place.
Good on you. A box of DVDs, that weighs nothing. A box of records, that's something.
That's true.
That is worth getting rid of. All right, what do you got?
I want to talk about sleep divorce. So there's a story swirling around the UK at the moment and around the world. An NHS doctor has gone viral with his recommendation that we don't actually sleep better with someone else, and that if you want to have a long-lasting relationship with your partner and a happy one, you should stop sleeping together.
Controversial.
Absolutely. What does everyone think?
I think it makes sense. I think if you want a really good night's sleep, you've got to sleep on your own. But you just get used to sleeping with someone else and sharing your bed.
I know you first, Michael.
No, I was going to say, I'm really needy, you see. I am. I think my wife would happily sleep in a separate bed because I snore and do, you know, keep her awake, and she doesn't sleep very well. But I think it would be awful. I like the idea of being in the same bed and
I think it would end the relationship. It would end your relationship if you had separate beds, separate rooms. That would be the end.
I don't know whether it would. I mean, people do, and they seem to have good relationships.
Do we?
Well, when you say it like that, it does sound quite dramatic.
Welcome to the panel. It's all black or white.
I don't know. I feel like it maybe as well as maybe older couples might sort of get used to sleeping in separate rooms.
Okay.
Or, yeah. But I do think I get after, if you're kind of away from home and you get to sleep by yourself for a change, you might find that it's like a really solid night's sleep.
I try other things. Like, we've got this enormous king-size bed, and really if you have no need to, you wouldn't necessarily see each other for a few days.
That's right. So
you could try
the bed
other
size
things before you actually slept in different rooms.
Because I hadn't factored in the super thing.
The super thing. So are you talking...
Can't get linen for it, but it's great. It's
Robert,
great
are you
bed.
Talking about sleeping in a king single in another room?
I think getting two people into a king single is beyond the ability of this panel. But maybe in a double bed, I mean, it definitely works. But yeah, you're right. You don't have a huge amount of space. But what I will say is it looks like from looking at the research behind this, that it kind of depends on who you are. So some people will thrive sleeping apart, particularly people who live with insomnia. or some kind of rhythm that means that they need to sleep in a different way to other people. Makes a lot of sense to have that. And apparently a lot of couples now will have two bedrooms and mostly sleep in one of them. But one person may go and sleep in another room if they don't want to disturb their partner. Which to me just seems like an incredibly pragmatic thing. It also implies that you've got two bedrooms, though.
That's right.
Which is, in the current housing market, not the easiest thing in the world. So there are lots of different ways to do it. The thing that I find interesting about this research and this advice is the definition of better. So you get a better night's sleep. Well, you might get more hours. You might get more REM sleep. You might get more deep sleep. But what about the soul? You know?
Yeah.
Like, better is waking up next to someone who you care about and who gives you a life purpose. Is that, to me, I think, is probably better than, like, a scientific measure.
Well, someone here says, 40 years on, nothing like a good cuddle, last thing at night and first thing in the morning. So that person is obviously a supporter of being in the same bed there.
The Queen and the Duke of Edinburgh never slept in the same bed. And how long? I don't care about monarchy, but they were married a long time.
That's right.
They weren't, to be fair, Michael, they weren't allowed to get divorced.
No, that's true. There wasn't an option in those circumstances.
Kim in Hamilton says, Wallace, lots and lots of couples sleep apart, and it does improve the relationship. A way better to get a good night's sleep. Let's not stigmatise people for trying to survive. So fair enough.
Yeah, I think basically it comes down to what works for you.
Yeah.
And if you're not sleeping well in a couple situation and you want to find a way to fix that, you have options that are beyond just simply having separate bedrooms. There are ways to solve it. One of the things that the doctors recommend is that one of the main problems with couple sleeping is heat. So people run at different heats, different temperatures. And so understanding that and maybe using your bedding in a different way, so the bedding is heavier. I had one partner where that was the case, where the bedding was much heavier on one side of the bed than the other because we both ran at very different temperatures, and that works.
Okay.
And dual control electric blanket.
Okay.
They were a revelation because you could either have them on and off.
What's going on at your house, Michael?
I'm at the edges of my comfort zone here. I'm not really. Somebody said cuddle before, and I'm not sure I feel very comfortable.
No, that's right. This is the panel. What about
it
you?
Went further.
What about you, Tiwi? How's your sleep?
My sleep's great, but I think the big issue is snoring. Like when you're sleeping with a snorer, can be a bit unbearable. And I don't like missing out on sleep, so I will say something in the middle of the night.
Yes, that's right.
I was staying at a noho marae over the weekend with about 80 people in one wharemoe, and there was a couple next to me who really gave definition to the maxim, the couple that snores together stays together. So they're not having any issues in that department because they're able to do it together.
Well, it seems to be the separate bed brigade has come out in force. And there are a lot more people than I thought, perhaps, that really do like it. You can still have love and hugs and sleep separately. But someone else says sleeping apart killed our marriage. After the giant bed, we moved happily to separate rooms. We thrive. Completely different sleeping patterns. We both enjoy our own rooms. And it's the first time in my life I have my own room. And I love it. And we have the best relationship. We're very close.
Yeah, I think, it just comes down to the relationship itself is going to be part of it. And everyone's different. Humans are complicated. Yeah.
Maybe the idea of this is to destigmatise the fact that if you do want to sleep in a separate room, it's not a bad thing.
Absolutely.
The fact is, I think it's one of those things where people think that if you sleep apart, there's a problem.
Yeah, it's like
it shouldn't be necessary.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I take it all back. I'm sorry for being overly dramatic.
or stigmatising.
Stigmatising.
I'm going to finish with one little fun study which has proven that people do sleep better if they're wearing a T-shirt that their partner slept in, even if they don't know that the T-shirt was worn by their partner. So the scent of the partner can give you a better night's sleep.
Oh,
so
that's interesting.
I am now really uncomfortable.
I think I can just wear my own clothes.
We can just stop there, Robert.
Kakite.
Goodbye.
Bye, Robert.
Gosh, quite a response to that. We will try and sneak some in to the Friday mailbag, and a lot coming through about DVDs as well. But time for I've Been Thinking. Tiwi Lefu'utai, would you like to start?
Yes, so I've been thinking quite a lot this week about the Samoan election, or the ongoing Samoan election. So the actual polling day was April 9th, and we've just heard that they're going, or the plans have been put in motion for a second election on the 21st of May, I believe, after the head of state announced that the last election results, which actually ended up in basically a tie, were void.
And it's quite significant. This is unprecedented for Samoa, isn't it?
Well, we've had the same party in for basically 40 years. And for half of that time, it's been the same prime minister. So Tuila Epa Malielenga Oi. Tuila Epa Sailele Malielenga Oi. And so it is really significant in that it's coming into possibly a change in leadership, or at least some significant challenge to that.
But there's a High Court decision to be made about the legitimacy of the extra member of parliament because of the imbalance, or the women's, you know, they've got to have a balance of 10% of politicians of women.
So there were a lot of legal challenges in the aftermath, and that's kind of been, if the initial election result, which those legal challenges were based on, is declared void, then it makes it difficult to challenge that, and that's what the process is at the moment.
So he's voided it today. That's the thing which I didn't realise that. That's really significant, isn't it?
It is, and I think for a small nation who is still coming into their own form, like sort of democracy, I suppose, and trying to navigate a Westminster system alongside our own traditional values, or it's good to see that there is some healthy and also criticism of the current ruling regime.
Tuila, thank you for that. All right, Michael Moynihan, I've been thinking.
I've been thinking how complicated it is to navigate change. And the government has been, I think, over time often criticised for not getting on and tackling some of the big issues. And yet, ironically, when they come out with something bold like the health reforms, there were equally as much criticism about the fact that they might be moving too fast, or that they might be doing too much, or they might be not listening enough or whatever. And and I think they end up being... I think as an electorate, we've got to work out how we relate to risk. You know, we can't just keep doing exactly the same things. We can't keep doing the same things in health and expect a better outcome for Māori and Pacifica. We can't be thinking about managing our prisons in the same way that we have and expect a different outcome. So we do have to make change. Now, alongside change comes risk. And we've got to work out, if all we do is jump to criticism the moment a change is announced or a bold decision for leadership is made, all we're really doing is avoiding the conversation which says, OK, let's look at the balance of risk. If we don't make any change, if we don't have bold leadership, do we end up with nothing ever changing? And I think as a nation, we've got to avoid, in my view, just knee-jerking to criticism when bold leadership is being offered personally.
Very good. Michael Moynihan, Tuila Fuatai with me this afternoon. Steve says, I paid royalties to watch, listen to VH records, then again for the same product on DVD. Damned if I'm going to pay again for digital rights. Lots to come on the panel, 4 to 5, right here, RNZ National.